Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We will finish up our preaching through the book of Revelation. And this is very appropriate as we look at the last message. It is entitled, The Last Invitation. The Last Invitation. Revelation 22, 17. One verse. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the last invitation. Listen as I read this verse, and then let God speak to your heart today. And the Spirit, that's capitalized, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Let him take the water of life freely. Now that is a powerful verse. This is the epilogue of the book of Revelation. This is the end of it, the concluding passage of Revelation, and not only of Revelation, but of the whole, what we would call the canon of Scripture. The authoritative Word of God, as God closes it out in the book of Revelation. It's a powerful, powerful book, to say the least. But this is the grand finale. You go to some event and they have a grand finale, a concerto, and at the end, all of the musicians together playing their parts and having a big ending for that. A fireworks show, and they always have the last part of it when they shoot off all the fireworks. Well, this is all the fireworks. This is the epilogue, the ending, the concluding passage. You'll notice the first three times here in the Scripture, in this verse, that the word come is used. And that's a good word. This is an answer, really, to the cry that Jesus made, or John, about him in verse 12. And that is, and behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus said. And that was a statement that was made, and now they're answering that. They are replying to that. And there are three that are speaking here. You have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You have the bride. And then you have him that heareth, that is, each one that listened to it and listen to the truth of the Word of God. And then we hear the Lord's voice one more time where he makes an appeal to those that are thirsty. How appropriate to end the whole Bible in the book of Revelation that way. Now notice that the Spirit says, Come. The Spirit says, Come. Now the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He is the vice-regent, if you want to call him that, of Almighty God, of the Trinity. Christ had to go away. He said, it's needful for me to go away, but if I go away, I'm going to send somebody else in my place. Who did he send? He sent the precious person of the Holy Spirit. Do not call the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. You wouldn't say about God the Father, it said something to me. You wouldn't say about Jesus, it told me to do something. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit was sent in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit of truth. He is called the Paraclete. And that is the one who stands by our side, the one who is there to help us, and the one who is to teach and to comfort us, to instruct us, to guide us. A keeper of the truth and a keeper of our souls as the Holy Spirit seals us. This is who is speaking. Jesus said, I come quickly. He said, the Holy Spirit said, come on. Come. We want you to come. I, the Holy Spirit, want you to come. You see, the world has grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit now for almost or a little bit over 2,000 years. They have said no. They have abused him. They have rejected him. They have quenched him. They have grieved him. Now, we think it was something that the people in the wilderness journey grieved God. Didn't they grieve the Spirit of God for those years in the wilderness, those 40 years? But listen, nobody has grieved the Holy Spirit like this present world in the time that has come since the Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and arose. Israel provoked the Spirit of God, but man is provoking the Spirit of God now. And the Holy Spirit is grieved, and the Holy Spirit is blasphemed. No wonder the Holy Spirit, who is grieved about the whole thing, is saying, yes, finally. Yes, Jesus, come. I'm tired of being grieved. I'm tired of being said no to. I'm tired of being quenched. The last time the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the last time they saw him was at Calvary when Jesus was being crucified. And then after he was raised for a little while, he died in shame between two felons, between two thieves. And the Holy Spirit has been longing for Jesus to return ever since. Ever since he's had to come. Now, what's the Holy Spirit's job? The main job of the Holy Spirit, among other things, is to exalt Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't come to exalt myself. I came to exalt Jesus Christ. I came to reveal him, to reveal his glory, to reveal his person, to reveal his splendor, to reveal his triumph. That's why I'm here. The primary emphasis is never on the Holy Spirit. The primary emphasis is always by the Holy Spirit on the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever the Lord said, behold, I come quickly, I come quickly, the Holy Spirit said, come, please come, do come. I want you to come. The day of your glory is at hand, and that's what I'm here for, is to see that you're glorified. No wonder the Holy Spirit said, I want you to come. And then there's another group here. The bride says, come. Look at that in that verse. The bride says, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice how it's written. It is written that way on purpose by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride just simply repeats the invitation. The bride is the church. The bride is the church of the living God. And the church has been praying, have we not, for centuries. We've been praying for centuries. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want. Isn't that what you want today? That's what I want. That's what the Bible says we should want. We should want to see the Lord come. And the bride is simply saying that and been praying for centuries, really millenniums, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll notice there's just one come there, and the Spirit and the bride say come. He didn't say the Spirit says come and the bride says come, but the Spirit and the bride in a joint effort say come. In other words, they are identified in their longing. The Holy Spirit wants him to come. The church of the living God wants him to come. I say that to say this. If the Holy Spirit is in control of a church, they are looking for the return of Jesus Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in control of the members of that church, they are desiring for Jesus to return. Why? Because then we're going to celebrate with him in the wedding supper. What a glorious time that's going to be. Obviously, the church is looking for a husband. I remember when I got married a couple of years ago, a few years now, and I can remember that I was waiting to see my bride more than anybody else. I could care less about the groomsman, the best man, the bridesmaids and all the rest, the flower girl and the ring bearer and the junior bridesmaids and all of those in that wedding. I was waiting to see my bride, my friend. I'd waited a long time, and I was glad to be there and part of that and waiting for my bride. And so it is that I believe she was also waiting to make that entrance down that aisle to come and be with the person that was going to be marrying her and be her husband. And that's the way the church should be. The church is looking for a husband. We are waiting for the final consummation, and we are longing for the Lord. And then he broadens it a little bit and says, let him that heareth say come. Who is that? Well, I think it's every member of the household of faith that he's talking about. Let every member, let the church say it, let the bride say it, let the Spirit say it, and every member of the household of faith, yes, we say, all say, come, Lord Jesus. That's what we've been waiting for. And that's a sign of a born-again Christian. It is a token of somebody who's really saved. They're looking for Jesus. Not only are they looking for Jesus, because they're looking for Jesus, they're living for Jesus. They want to live for Jesus because they know he's going to return. Now, unsaved people are not longing for the return of Christ. They're not calling for Christ to come back. Those who are unsaved, unregenerated, not ready, to them, that's a dark day. To them, when Christ returns, it's a day of gloom and a day of depression and a day of judgment, perdition, damnation, a day of loss, a day of terror, a day to be afraid of when Christ comes again. A lost person isn't looking for that. Unsaved men say with their tongue in their cheek, where's the promise of his coming? Have not all things stayed the way they were? Nothing has changed. Where is the coming of Jesus? That's the attitude of the unsaved. He's not coming back. We are not looking for him. We're not troubled about it. We don't even believe it's going to happen. And yet some know deep down in their heart that there's a God and there is going to be a day of God having to judge them and they having to face Almighty God. There's going to be that day that's going to come. But their whole attitude is one of not looking for the return of Jesus Christ. But thank God, to be saved, it is a blessed event. To be saved, it is come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come. We want you to come. It's happiness to the soul. A true, devout, God-fearing Christian wants Christ to come and bring peace on this earth. They really want it to happen. Now, after all of these have spoken, the Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. The bride, come, Lord Jesus. All of the redeemed, the family of faith, say yes, come, Lord Jesus. Now the Lord begins to speak. There is actually a grammatical change of structure in this particular verse. But he says, as the Spirit has spoken, the bride and him that heareth say come. Then there's a transition, and God is speaking. He says, let him that is athirst come. God says, let anybody that is thirsty, let them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially, he is saying to the lost, I want you to come. I want you who are unsaved to come. I want you to be saved. Just before the final benediction, just before the last amen, just before the canon of Scripture is closed, Jesus and God say, let me make this one last appeal to all of those that are unsaved. All that are thirsty, come. And I'm glad he says, whosoever will. Whosoever will or whosoever want. It's your will. It is not left up to God, my friend. It's left up to you. Will you or will you not? Will you say yes or are you going to say no? It's whosoever will, whosoever desires to be saved, whosoever wants to drink of this water of life, whosoever will may come. I'm glad the word come is one of God's favorite words. One of God's very favorite words. The Bible is replete with that all the way through. Noah, God said to Noah, I'm going to have a flood. It's going to be a universal flood. I'm going to destroy this earth, that is the face of this earth, through the universal flood. And he said, I want you and your family to come inside the ark, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. God said, come. And they said, yes. And they got in the ark, and they were taken care of. Moses, in the middle of a camp, all of the Jews, in the middle of idolatry and debauchery, and all kinds of terrible things going on, right in the middle of all of that, he said, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. Come and take your place with the ranks of those who are on the Lord's side. Isaiah said something about that, God's favorite word, come. Isaiah 1:8, come now. God says, come now. When? Now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, ugly, and you have stains of sin, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank God he said, come to those who are sinners. In Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, I'm glad for that. He that hath no money, in other words, he that is spiritually bankrupt, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God always says, come. What about Jesus? What did he have to say about it? Over and over. Over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus gave the invitation, come. The disciples that were laboring and working, they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. By the way, that's a call we've all received. We should be soul winners too. We should be fishers of men. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Aren't you glad God says to the little children, come? The disciples said, he doesn't have time for you. Get away. You're going to disturb him. Jesus said, no, let the little children come. That's when they ought to get saved while they're young. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the rich young ruler, he said to him, man, give it away. Give it away and come follow me. But he said, I can't do that. You see, he was so wrapped up in the world and worldliness, he was not willing to repent and let go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, turn away from that stuff. Come and follow me. And the rich man said, I can't do that. He rejected him. Zacchaeus was up in a tree, and Jesus said, this day, Zacchaeus, is salvation come to thy house. And then he said, come. That's what he was saying. Come. Make haste. Come down. Come, follow me. Receive me as Savior. Zacchaeus was a robber and a thief, a tax collector, and a man that was despised by both those that were the Roman Empire and those that were Jews. And yet Jesus said to him, sinner, come on down out of that tree. Come to me, and I'll save you. And he did. Zacchaeus got saved. He has said to all the weary and heavy laden. Boy, there are people like that all around us. They're tired of drugs. They're tired of alcohol. They're tired of sex. They're tired. They know they're empty. Something's missing. Something's not there. The burdens are there. The guilt is there. Jesus said, come all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm glad he said that, because some of us were pretty heavy laden when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to us and we got saved and we came in. And this is the climactic purpose of the Word of God. And by the way, that's the purpose of every worship service we have. It is not to entertain you. It is not whether or not the pastors could be bragged on because of the way he preached or whatever. That isn't it at all. It isn't just to entertain you or to scratch your itch. That isn't the purpose of the worship service. The main purpose of the worship service is to see people come to Christ. Amen. Is to get them born again. Every gospel sermon is to lead to you need to be born again. Every song that is sung should lead to the cross of Calvary. And we are saying over and over in our service, come, unsaved friend, come to Jesus Christ. But is there a message for the saved? Oh, yes. What is that? Come closer. You've come to him and been saved, but where are you? Where are you in your spiritual life? He says, come closer. And that's an invitation to those that are saved today. Come closer to me in your service. You see, if you want to get close to the Lord, start serving him. Come closer to me in your prayer life. Come closer to me by reading your Bible regularly, on purpose, systematically. Jesus is always saying to you and I, come and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Always he's saying, come grow more. Come be more like me. Come and follow me and be a soul winner. Always he is saying to the saved, come closer to me. Do you have a precious, close, intimate, daily, all the time relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Many Christians are backslidden, out of fellowship with God. They're critical, they're bitter, they're angry. I don't know, they get worldly, they get involved in sin. Jesus says to you, come closer to me. You're messed up with pornography, lay it down and come closer to Jesus Christ. You're messed up in immorality in your home and in your marriage and there where you work, lay it down, come closer to Jesus Christ. Always he says to the lost, come and be saved. Always he says to the saved, draw nigh, get closer to me. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to me, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. That's his promise. That's his invitation to us. The preacher doesn't have to be clever to get people saved. He doesn't have to be an oratorical giant in order to have people saved. The preacher doesn't have to be profound or know all of the details of all of the deep theological issues and questions. Nor does he need to be forensic or argumentative about all of those things, argumentative about all of those things. He doesn't have to be that. All he has to do is come to the pulpit with a simple sermon that says, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, all you that labor and heavy laden, and you can be saved. It is an invitation. Come and join us. We're on a pilgrimage journey. We're on our way to heaven. Get saved. Come. Join us. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the simple message. Come. That's the message of God. Come and be saved. All of these voices we hear today are saying, come. The entire text, look at it again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. They're working together. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There it is, over and over and over. God is saying it. They are all inviting the lost to come to Jesus Christ. And that doesn't violate the text to say that. Oh, I know they're saying to Jesus, you come. But in a sense, they're all saying to the lost, you come. Here's why. When the preacher makes the appeal, after a while we'll have an invitation. I'll say, please come if you're lost and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Guess who's going to be working with me? The Holy Spirit. Just as he said to Jesus, come, he's going to say to you, that preacher's right, you need to go. You need to come to Christ. You need to be saved. And the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad when I preach, I know I have someone helping me, working with me, speaking to hearts, going across this congregation. As he is everywhere present, the Spirit of God brings conviction, and he talks to hearts, and I'm not by myself, thank God. The Spirit of God says, come, and the preacher makes the appeal. The church often is criticized, but the church is interested. Let a lost person come forward. And guess what? The church is happy about it. Or at least, could I say it this way? They should be. I've seen times when people got saved and people act like, big deal. What's the big deal? Well, friend, when some one soul gets saved, it's a big deal. In fact, in the presence of all the angels in heaven, there is rejoicing when one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does the church really love the lost? Does the church really love its city? Do we really love Fort Worth? Do we want to see people saved? Then, my friend, when they come forward and they get saved, we're going to be happy. We're going to rejoice. It's going to be far more important than running out to the meal at 12 o'clock on the dot. In our heart, we're going to sing with the Spirit of God, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them with pity from sin and the grave. That's going to be the heartbeat of our song. We're going to stand with the Bible and our altars open and our invitation and all of those things. Tears of concern are going to be there, and they're going to flow. All of that's going to flow out to the lost and say, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you. Come be saved. Come forward. Come to this old altar. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the church, the bride of Christ. And then him that heareth, him that heareth. Have you heard? Have you heard there's good news? Have you heard that your sins can all be washed away? Have you heard there is a God in heaven? Have you heard that he sent his son? His son came by way of the Virgin Mary and came into this earth and went to the cross and died for your sins. And there is a way for you to be reconciled to God, because all of us must be reconciled to God, because we're all sinners and we're alienated from God until we get saved and are reconciled to God. Have you heard the good news? Reconciliation comes through and by Jesus Christ. Amen. Only through Jesus Christ. What good news. Him that heareth. Have you heard? The woman at Samaria. Jesus talked to her. It's one of my favorite stories. And he said, you need to change your life. And she got saved and she left her water pots, which is the type of leaving the old way. She ran back into the city and she said, come! Here a man that told me everything about me. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. Come! You need to get what I got. She was excited about it. God help us to stay excited about being saved. Maybe there's some sainted mother or father or grandmother or grandfather that's gone on to heaven. And you loved them and you heard them say you need to be saved. And today, maybe this very day, that mother and that father that's gone on to be with the Lord, or that grandma or that grandpa, is saying to you in your conscience, in your mind, come to Jesus. In your memory, come, and you ought to come. They say, come. They told you to come. He says, hear him that is athirst. Let him come. Somebody that, you know, the most agonizing physical thing, a longing for the human body, is thirst. When somebody is totally thirsty, and right now I'll talk about water and you'll start getting thirsty. How would you like to have a good drink of this water right now, even though it's not 12 o'clock? I mean, that's nice, cool water. Ah, that illustrates a point. And you're not even in the middle of a desert. You're just sitting on a comfortable pew. Some of you are very comfortable, I notice. Somebody said, doesn't it bother you when they sleep while you preach? And I say, no, I think they're the ones who trust me, evidently. But that is one of the things that is one of the greatest agonizing longing of a human body. If they cannot get water, then they just can't live. If you can picture, like the old cowboys in the movies, and these were based, many of them, on true stories, and some that have fought in battles over in the desert, being out there with parched lips and all of that, and their skin dry, and every tissue and every atom of the body is crying out, I thirst, I need some water to drink. Crying for water, that is a picture. God intended it to be that way, of a soul without Jesus Christ. Somebody who is lost, crying out. A picture of the longing of the soul. Christ said, whosoever drinks of the water of this life shall thirst again. What did he mean? Whosoever drinks of the water of this life shall thirst again. There are a lot of people drinking the water of pleasure. They're going to thirst again. There are a lot of drinking the water of fame and riches. All of these, I'll tell you, I thought the older Hollywood set was bad, but the younger Hollywood set's making the older Hollywood set, they're making them embarrassed over some of the things they do. When Madonna has to reprimand somebody, son, you're in trouble. But there are those who are drinking from fame and fortune and riches and sex and pleasure, all of that, success. And let me tell you, you're going to want another drink. That is not going to satisfy you. Look at some athlete that has the opportunity to make millions of dollars and he throws it away for drugs and he has nothing, can't even have enough money to bail himself, to pay his bail to get out of jail. What happened? Well, I'm telling you, there's a thirst there that's never going to be quenched until it comes to the Lord, till he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the cup of immortality that is ours, because Jesus said something else about it. But whosoever drinks of the water that I give him, the water that I give him, shall never thirst. Amen. Thank God that means we drink out of the cup of immortality. I know when I die, I'm going to live forever and ever and ever in heaven with Jesus Christ. Amen. I like that water. How about you? Yes. That's good water. And I drink from the cup of the fountain of the water of life. And that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Where can we drink and be satisfied? Where? Where can we find immortality? In Christ. And notice that he said, whosoever will. Amen? I'm glad that's in the Bible. Whosoever will. If I elect, God elects. If I will, God will. That's how simple it is. The elect are the whosoever wills. And the non-elect are simply the whosoever wants. That's how simple it is. Don't get wrapped up in all this malarkey about hyper-Calvinism and elect, so many being preordained to go to heaven, so many preordained to go to hell. Forget that junk. Whosoever will is elected. Whosoever wants is going to die and go to hell. It's that simple. We have a will. We have choice. But I'm glad God said, whosoever will. The condition is not with God or Christ. That's all been taken care of. It is in me. Will I receive Jesus Christ? Whosoever will. And I'm glad the invitation is broad. Let him. That means anybody. Look at that verse. Let him. Let him. That means anybody. I'm glad anybody, the humblest, the most timid person in this auditorium, let him come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop it. Doesn't matter who comes, Satan cannot stop it. Satan cannot stop you from getting saved if you're willing to come. Let him come. Let him be saved. Let him trust Christ as his Savior. All the powers of hell cannot stop you from getting saved. Then he says, let him take. Take what? You desire Christ? You've got him. Take Christ. You desire life? Take it. You desire heaven? Take it. You desire forgiveness? Thank God it's there. Take it. Come and take it. There's no word about feelings in that at all. It's just come and take it. Be willing to come and take it. There is not one word about works earning your salvation in that verse. It is come and take it. Come and receive it. The water is there for you. Just let him come and take it. There's one condition, though, he does put here. And that is the word freely. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's a condition. Why? You can't buy it. Let him take it freely. Freely. Don't try to buy it. Don't come with your good works and say, God, here's my good works. I come with my good works. Take me in. No, he says, it's free. Take it freely. Just come as you are. The songwriter said, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal? No languor, no. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the way we've got to come. That's the way everybody has to come. A little poor boy, very poor, in a large family, very dirty and emaciated, was taken to the hospital. He was starving. Somebody got him to the hospital. The nurse brought him a big glass of milk, handed it to the little boy, and said, drink. The little boy took the big glass of milk and he said, how far can I drink? Because he was used to, if he ever got milk, sharing that milk with all of his brothers and sisters. And he said, how far can I drink? What a picture of poverty and want and need the little boy depicts for us. And the nurse said, dear child, drink it up, drink it all the way to the bottom. Drink all of it. And Jesus said, let him that is athirst come. Well, how deep can I drink? Friend, you can drink all of it. And I can tell you, you or nobody else will ever exhaust the grace of Almighty God. Here's what he says. Come now. Bow before him. Come with nothing in your hands and give him your life. Unsaved friend, that's all God's asking you to do. Come and bow and receive Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior. But then to you that are believers, the invitation is come. Come today, believer. Come now, believer. Come and make up your mind. You're not going to be defeated by the devil. You're going to get closer to God. Jesus is always saying to men and women and boys and girls who are saved, come. Rededicate your life. Come. Get closer to me. That's his invitation to you as a believer. And the invitation to you as a non-believer is come to Christ. Drink of the water. Drink all the way down. Drink to the bottom. The grace of God is available for you today. Let's stand, please. The last invitation in the whole of the Word of God is come. Our heads are bowed. And I invite you today, friend, if you're not sure you're saved, to come. And if you are here as a born-again believer already, you come. Just pray and rededicate your life and get a hold of God and tell him you want to know him closer, better. You want to be more intimate with him. I believe there are a lot of Christians in this building who need to do that today. No doubt, most all of us actually probably could. Father, speak to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit, who is working with us right now, who said to you, come, Lord Jesus, may he say to others today, right now, come. And I pray they would not grieve him or quench him, but they would listen to him and come. I pray Christians would come, lost people would come, those that you're leading to make this your church home, if you're leading them in that way, may you lead them to come. May your will be done. Those who have been saved but never followed you in believers' baptism, we know they need to come and be obedient to you in believers' baptism. May your will be done now. We offer that invitation to them, God, in your name, that they would come. In Christ's name, amen.